WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're back after it this week. And one of our favorite places, and maybe yours as well, Pappas. We're going to be up at Cockeysville in Pappas on Friday from 2 until 5. Got great, great guests. Dan Rogers from the Baltimore Sun coming by talking about his big show coming up 2 weeks from now. And I'm looking forward to that little stage production. David Steele's written yet another book. We will have him out on Friday. He was holding it. He didn't want to come on the Zoom. He wanted to do a crab cake. So David Steele will be joining us at Pappas on Friday. And Mike Bordick will be joining us along with Frank Kolarik, talking about the season, talking about their love of baseball, and talking about Field of Dreams. It'll be good to have Frank and Mike together for a crab cake at Pappas. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be giving away some scratch-offs from the Ravens scratch-off collection. Had a $50 winner 2 weeks ago up at Greenmount Station. And, of course, our friends at Goodwill and at Window Nation. We have so many great sponsors around here, great friends. This guy does radio each and every Thursday from 3 until 5. Last week, it was bi-week radio. This week, it'll get you ready for the Carolina Panthers. And what a weekend it was to sit around and watch football beginning at 9 o'clock in the morning in Munich, Germany. Take me home, country roads. Dennis Kolatsos is on the country road over to Security Boulevard at Coons Baltimore Ford. He joins us now. He will join us again from 3 until 5 on Thursday. And again, Sunday morning before the game. Did you have any idea that the German people knew John Denver as well as we know John Denver here in America?
Hey, how about Sweet Caroline? Bum, bum, bum.
That's a great Red Sox song, man.
How great was that? And the people lingered for an hour after the game. You can hear them in the background as the commentators were trying to conduct interviews. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life, how these people enjoyed the players. And the only thing better would have been had the players gone up into the stands and sang with the people there and signed autographs. But man, what a venue. And even Tom Brady, the GOAT, as you call him, was soaking up the glory. One of the best things that's ever happened to him in his career. Wonderful weekend for football. Nestor, I was dialed into the Red Zone the entire day. Saw a lot of football, a lot of great football, a lot of storylines there to tell.
Well, I've done a lot of things in my life, and one thing I'm as I fight with the Ravens over a press credential that I shouldn't be fighting with them about, but I've been to more NFL stadiums, and I don't mean a stadium. I've watched NFL games in more stadia than probably anybody alive. Like I'm on a, because of the old stadia and the new stadia and the fact that I've been to more stadiums than, let's say, Brian Billick, who hasn't broadcast in 10 years, who was in the league but hasn't been in some of the newer stadiums as well as John Harbaugh coaching. He was in the college game back when I was running around other stadiums. So I did the math on this. Kevin Byrne is a guy who's been in a lot of stadiums because he was back in the 70s and 80s. So as an example, he was the PR director of the St. Louis Cardinals, which played in Busch Stadium. I've never seen a football game in the old Busch Stadium. Saw baseball games there, but never a football game. But how many stadia you could actually see games in? So I've seen games in Memphis, lots and lots of old stadiums, Kingdome, college stadiums, places that are gone, the old municipal. So when you get new stadia, that sort of, I can see an NFL game in a place I've never seen an NFL game before. Like, I didn't see the Packers playing County Stadium in Milwaukee, but Kevin Byrne did. So I've added these stadia as we go along, right? And the Munich thing, it appealed to me. Bye weekend for the Ravens. Man who saved my wife's life lives in Germany. He and his brother wanted to go. His brother wanted to go to the game in the worst way. Just loves the NFL. Loves Tom Brady.
Three million requests to go to the game, Nestor. Just so you know, three.
That's
million
what they told me
for tickets.
So,
three.
So when we went over to Germany in June, do you remember my back was all screwed up? The only thing that made me feel good was walking. So Niels's brother Max is a little younger. Max and I went for a long walk around the streets of Cologne. I just kept walking. And he said, impossible to get the tickets. There have been 3 million requests for the tickets. You know, impossible. I said, Max, I'll try. I have some friends. I'm going to try to get you some tickets. So I did all of this sort of covertly a couple months ago, thinking about how I could get him tickets. I had some friends in Tampa, some friends in Seattle. And I didn't put any requests in. And about 10 weeks ago, right after the Ravens threw me out and I realized I wouldn't be going to New Orleans or Tampa or Foxborough or the Meadowlands twice or any of these road games, probably not going to Jacksonville, though I do have my flight. I've held my flights just to let Chad Steele know that I have intentions. But I didn't make the trip. And I looked at flights last week, Dennis. I looked at flights into London. My wife's best friend lives in Barcelona. I've never been to Barcelona. So we were going to do London to see Peter Frampton at Royal Albert Hall, which is on my bucket list. We were going to go to Barcelona, which is on my wife's bucket list, and her best friend lives there. And then we were thinking about going to Munich. And, like, I had no Jones to see Tom Brady. I wasn't even sure he'd be alive and well and upright, if not divorced, by the time they got there, right? I looked at flights. I had a $449 flight. Like, I could have done it. I talked to my wife. She was like, Niels is coming over here in a couple of weeks. We didn't do it. 9:15, we saw the stadium packed. Niels was texting us all morning pictures. And I said to my wife, I'm like, we screwed this up.
Yeah, should have gone.
We should have gone. We should have gone. We should have gone. We should have gone. We should have gone. But once they started singing Take Me Home Country Roads and we heard.
Unbelievable.
Like, I said to her, I'm like, we really, really screwed the pooch on this one. We didn't do that. But, you know, the other thing about this, and I read Peter King, Dennis, they're going to be playing games in Germany every year now, right? Obviously, Germany is going to become a primary market for them.
And it should. Why? We were watching and we were mad that we weren't part of that spectacle. And believe it, next time they play, doesn't matter who it is, in Munich, we're going to go just to be part of that atmosphere, because it's one of those things. I had chills watching it on TV. I can only imagine what it was like being there live at the stadium with all that German beer and brats and whatever else they were serving. And that atmosphere was electric. It really was. Unbelievable.
All right, so here's the deal. If I go to a game in Germany, I'm going to wear lederhosen. All right. I'm just going to do it. And I'm making a rule right now, because I've been to the Frankfurt Stadium. I saw Billy Joel play there a couple of years ago when I went over the first time to meet Niels. So I've been to that stadium, but I've never seen a football game there. But I am literally adding how many stadia that I mean, I've seen games at the Liberty Bowl. I saw games at the old Sombrero. Like, I want to add stadiums, but I had no idea it was going to be that much fun. And then the Vikings and the Bills, which certainly has affected our fortunes here, that the Bills are falling down the mountain a little bit. The Ravens are getting healthier. This is a great week for prosperity here in Baltimore, because I think this is the first time in a while that I sniff that the Ravens could go to a Super Bowl. And I haven't talked a lot. I don't talk about that a lot in August, September, October. I'm a little bit of a, well, let me know where they are Thanksgiving. Well, I look at this schedule, Carolina, Jacksonville, Denver, the remaining teams in our division, probably the worst cast of division teams we've had here in a long, 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 long time, right? And the Bengals with the injury now to Chase. The Ravens are in a unique position here to have a pretty special season. I mean, they're in a position where they're going to be 9-3 3 weeks from now. I believe that.
Yeah, they have a shot to not only have a great season to get into the playoffs, Nestor, but they have a great shot at having the number one seed in the AFC. And that would be huge if the Super Bowl goes through Baltimore. Tough to see this team losing at home, either to the Bills, who all of a sudden look very mortal, Josh Allen making turnovers, inexplicable turnovers, and maybe comes down right now to the Chiefs and the Ravens. I'd feel a whole lot better playing the Chiefs here versus Arrowhead Stadium.
I didn't have that pick on my bingo card, that Josh Allen overtime pick. I mean, I didn't think that was possible, that he would just throw the ball across the middle and lose the game.
How about the fumble, right, at the half-yard line? That was, how bizarre was that? When's the last time we've seen that, right?
Joe Pisarcik, 1981, Meadowlands.
Wow, yes. Right, who can forget that? The fumble, right?
They could have 79, taken actually.
Do you think John Harbaugh would have taken a safety in that situation, right, and punted the ball and taking some time off the clock? A lot of second guessing in that game for the Buffalo Bills. They got outcoached, they got outplayed, and hard to believe that the Vikings now sport that 8-1 record.
I don't think that I would have taken a safety there. Would have made it a 2-point game. You give them the ball back, one completion.
Maybe. Yeah, you're right about
that.
So but the fumble in the end zone. I mean, come on now.
You can't do that.
That's unbelievable, unheard of.
Well, Dennis Colatos is here. He'll be a Raccoons Baltimore forward on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but he'll be here Thursday from 3 until 5 and back again on the Sunday Sports Voice in the morning on Sunday from 8 until about noon, getting you ready for football action. So what did you learn sitting around over the weekend watching all of this? I watch football from 9, 10 in the morning until my eyes shut after 11 o'clock watching Justin Herbert run around. I mean, it was a full day. And now that we're starting to separate these teams, the middle's a mess, and there's a lot of so-so teams. But I'm trying to focus on the teams that are going to be playing in the playoffs. I believe the Ravens to be one of them. But you look at the Chiefs, you look at the Bills, and you say, fine, but how about the Dolphins? How about the Jets? I mean, these are much, much improved teams. And all of a sudden, losing to the Dolphins doesn't feel like such a terrible thing. They look like offensively, they might have trouble stopping a nosebleed defensively, but offensively, they're going to move the ball up and down the field.
Yeah, just not the fact that they lost to the Dolphins, just the way they lost to the Dolphins, giving up 21 points in that fourth quarter. But they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. They're playing very well. They got Bradley Chubb now. They added him on the defensive line. He's a stout defensive end, outstanding player. So they're going to be a tough out. But like you, I watched football from morning until it got dark outside. I didn't watch the late game. I watched Yellowstone. It was the 2-hour premiere, which
you and everybody else was watching Yellowstone. Nobody had any interest in the 49ers.
I'm a Yellowstone guy. I peeked at the score and didn't have a lot of interest in the night game. But aside from that, it was a wonderful day of football. And like you said, the storylines continue to develop in the NFL. Teams are rising, teams are falling. And you have to like the position that the Ravens are in right now. As you mentioned, barring some catastrophic injuries, this team should be right there in the end. And like I said, I'm really excited that they do have a shot to have the number one seed in the AFC. And hopefully this team learned some lessons from that 2019 season-ending run that ended abruptly at M&T Bank Stadium at the hands of those Tennessee Titans.
Well, you know, the hardest thing to do is predict this stuff in September and October when you're blowing 35-14 leads and things are going wrong. You'd say, well, where is the team going to be at the turn? Which I would say Thanksgiving's the turn for me of being serious. Very well rested right now. I don't know where Andrews and Edwards, certainly, you know, Dobbins, I'm not counting on him, but I'm believing that Andrews will get well. I'm believing that Edwards, and that was just a little hammy thing, probably could have played last week, that the skill position players and whatever Devin Duvernay, Prochet, these wide receivers, Robinson, whatever these guys are going to give you. And again, they shouldn't be throwing the ball 48 times. You know, they shouldn't need wide receivers to have 9 catches for 148 yards. Like, that's not what this offense is. But getting guys healthy, the two things I did not bank on back in September. One, Ronnie Stanley playing and being really healthy. That's something you and I were always skeptical about. I mean, doubtful. I'm not just skeptical, yep. Doubtful about that. And then the Roquan Smith thing, trading weekend, 2-3 weeks ago, we were looking at it saying, wide receiver, DJ Moore, find a slot corner, right? The fact that Eric took it upon himself to say, this guy's available, this guy's a lottery pick, maybe we can sign him, maybe we can't, we can massage cap and this and that. But this is a guy I want on my football team. This is a guy we would have drafted if we had the 8th pick that year. And we get to rent him for a 2 and a 5. And if we get rid of him and let him go, we'll get a 3 2 years from now for letting him walk for his $80 million or $100 million he's going to get from someplace else. The Roquan Smith thing is fascinating, how much better this football team will be over the next 6 to 8 weeks with him in there, and the health of everybody else coming back too. Ajabo is going to come back in, JPP, Houston, the ability that they don't have 11 guys on defense. They got about 16, 17 starters on defense right now. And that's really where they need to be. I think they're than they were 6 weeks ago, not based on results, based on what they're putting on the field this week.
Well, Nestor, there's an old saying that tired legs feed wolves. So the Ravens have the exact opposite going into the second half of the season. They have fresh legs. So if tired legs feed wolves, what do fresh legs do, right? Whether it's David Ojabo, whether it's Charlie Kohler, whether it's Marcus Williams, all these guys coming back, for them to be able to put these veterans like JPP and Justin Houston on a pitch count, keep that rotation fresh, getting after the quarterback, you just have to like the chances. The defense is rising. The offense is rising. The special team that lights out, they have a veteran coaching staff. They've been here before, been there before, right? So you have to like their chances. And you look at...
And an easy schedule. You didn't mention that part.
Easy schedule. And you look over there at Indianapolis, right? We have to talk about it this week. Jeff Saturday taken over as head coach for the Indianapolis Colts. And you know what? How bizarre is that situation up there with the Ursays?
Well, it is bizarre, and I've seen the interviews, and he won the game. Like, I don't even know what to say. He's 1-0 as a head coach. He's already done something Hugh Jackson couldn't do.
Nestor, I'm glad they moved. How about that? I mean, how many years later? And I've said this many, many times, I'm glad that franchise. Can you imagine being a fan of that? You might have to bleep my next statement, but that downtrodden franchise. It's a poverty franchise. It always has been. They lucked into drafting Peyton Manning. Haven't done much since, have they?
No, and it is interesting all these years later, had they stayed, and what that would have baked out to be. I mean, I was around in 82 and 83 where the rock bottom was, and the only thing I can really compare it to some degree is what's going on down in the nation's capital with the Commanders. And, I mean, it is the most fascinating story in sports that he still owns the team and that Jimmy Ursay can hire a non-coach to be his coach, and insane. That's unprofessional, and obviously Bill Cowher, you know, went to the mat over the weekend about it. A lot of coaches in the profession have said this is outrageous.
It is.
But the way the guy in D.C. has run the franchise and they can't get rid of him, and the allegations pile up and they continue to pile up, and now the Washington AG is after them for basically ripping people off. You know, where, you know, like, it's one thing to be bad faith. It's one thing to have a bad team. It's one thing to charge people for practice. But stealing people's money? I mean, at what point are they going to exit that thing and get a real owner down there? I mean, that's gone on for 20 years now, and I know you have some friends, and I have some friends that were season ticket holders down there.
Yeah, you know what? Before I got on the air with you today, we talked about organizations and how about your bottom 15% affect you adversely. The NFL is no different. Out of the 32 owners, there's the bottom 15 or 20%. Those owners, they're terrible, right? And you're better off without them. Danny Snyder's one of them. And I never liked the Ursays, you know that.
How many bad ownership groups? Like, over the course of time, the Bidwells were terrible.
Bidwells.
The York family was terrible, right?
How about Cleveland? They've had a ton of horrible owners. It just goes on and on, right? And I'm glad that Bidwell didn't come to Baltimore. Remember, we were romancing him and everybody else. And gosh, you know, we clocked
Al
out.
Davis. With, Al Davis. How about the Chargers? Like, they're playing out in L.A. just
Spanos,
waiting to go to
Spanos family.
Just waiting to go to Frankfurt, waiting to go somewhere where someone will care about them, right?
Right. Now, a lot of horrible owners, and fortunately, no, we don't have that in Baltimore. And look, the fish stinks from the head down. What's happening out there in Indianapolis, what's happening down in D.C., those are embarrassments for the league, embarrassments for the fan base. They should give those people their money back.
It's only an embarrassment until Deshaun Watson shows up to play against us in a couple of weeks.
Oh, there
too,
you
right?
go.
That's
going to be fun too, right? And again, he will get lustily booed every place he goes, maybe even in Cleveland.
Absolutely. Dennis Galatzos with Words of Wisdom. He'll be back on Thursday with more Words of Wisdom as well. He'll be here from 3 until 5 doing the Dennis Galatzos Show, formerly the Sunday Sports Voice, still heard on Sunday mornings from 8 until noon. What's going on out at the dealership right now? You're down to 149 cars from what I understand?
No, we're actually closer to 200 vehicles, which is fantastic. We've got them coming in. We have probably the best selection of new Ford vehicles on the East Coast, plus 200 pre-loved vehicles, and we're making deals, Nestor. We're getting customers from all over the country, and we try to hold onto our vehicles for our local customers first, but they're selling very, very fast.
So what you're saying is my wife could literally right now get in the vehicle, drive out to your place, and come home in a brand new Bronco
she has
Sport.
200 selections. I probably have about 15 Bronco Sports in stock. There's some 2.9, 3.9 financing available in most of our models. So the deals are there, and we're already having our Black Friday savings starting right now.
Oh, I better get in quick, because once they're gone, they're gone.
Get in quick. That's exactly
Honey,
right.
Honey, get online. Coons4Baltimore.com. Check it out. All right. Dennis Galatzos is here. He'll be there over at Security Boulevard. When he's not here, he'll be back here 3 o'clock on Thursday. And the Ravens will still be 6-3. And they're a 12.5-point favorite now. Maybe by the time we get to Thursday, they'll be 13-point favorite. How about that?
There you go. Just win, baby. Just win.
Better not lose to these guys this week. Dennis Kalatsos is here. He will be there. And, of course, bringing you all the breaking news that Luke sends out of Owings Mills, all of it courtesy of our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford, if you're on our tech service. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.